Good evening, everybody. So, welcome again. Yeah, we could turn on the lights. Yeah, I could see you guys now. I could literally go worship all night, all day. I don't have to stop, but I kind of do. But it's one of my favorite things. I would say it's my favorite thing to do. I could literally spend hours just me on the guitar and singing to God. It's great. And I encourage you guys, if you don't do it in your own time, try it. Yeah, if you don't play an instrument, that's fine. Just use your own voice. Drum along with, you could make, everybody makes rhythms on desk. I could see the teachers looking at me like, oh, no. But I encourage you guys to worship in your own time and stuff, so. So today we're going to talk about the truth about our calling. And this is something that God has been putting on my heart for a few weeks now. I shared parts of this with the youth. And it just keeps ringing and ringing in my heart. And it's kind of hard to hear. It was hard for me to hear. It was hard hearing this from God and then sharing it again with the youth. It was kind of hard. All this stuff that I'm saying, it's in love, and everything we need moving forward is in love. That's the key thing. If you know anything about our God, he's about love. And so, just because I don't have the words for it right now, I'm kind of mad. I'm frustrated at myself, at Christians in general, and especially myself, because I fall into this category. A lot of things that are going on the news right now is the school shootings, right? We've been hearing about this a lot. And especially, there's one just on yesterday, Tuesday. There's another one. And a few weeks ago, it hit a little bit closer home. In Sierra Vista, there was a middle school student who committed suicide with a gun in the school. A middle-aged school student. Took his life in school, and that hurts me, especially since I have a heart towards youth, teens, the teenage. Another one that's pretty close by is in Queen Creek High School. When I saw the name, I recognized it because we played them in state in soccer when I was in high school, and I recognized the name. And it's a school in Phoenix. And since May last year, 2017, 10 students have taken their own lives from that school. And all the counselors and all the people who look into it, they cannot find a reason why these students would take their lives. There's no common denominator. And so I did a little bit of research on suicide. It's the number one cause of death from ages 10 to 14. That's crazy to me. And it's the number two from age 15 through 34. And while looking at these, suicide is on it's It's going up. Like the numbers are going up, and nobody seems to know why. I did a little bit more research. I love doing research. I love looking at stuff that some people might find useless, because I have a lot of, I would say, useless information in my head. But it comes in handy every once in a while. In trivia, like Trivial Pursuit, I'm pretty good at that because I know like some weird questions. But there's another thing on the rise, and it's atheism. Especially in the ages from 15 to 34, there's a huge rise. So we have that atheism versus Christianity thing. And the thing is that a lot of people don't want to admit, and they say, even the counselors and all the people who do all these brain thingies, all of them say that, oh, atheism is not a cause of suicide. It's not. But if you look at it, what is the core fundamental of atheism? What does it tell you? It tells you that you're an accident, that you have no real purpose than other than just survive. Isn't that just what atheism tells us? Versus Christianity, what does Christianity tell us? What does the relationship with God tell us? It tells us that we have a purpose, that we were made on purpose. That we were planned, and you know what else? And that we're loved. So I guess we could all pretty much agree that we know what is causing the rise in suicide and what they need also, right? They need the gospel. And then I hear Christians saying that Christianity does not fix depression, does not fix thoughts of self-harm. It doesn't fix any of that. It does. And I know it does because I was there. In high school, I don't talk about this much, but in high school, I was suicidal. I did want to do self-harm. I didn't think I had a purpose. In the same way, the people who want to do self-harm, they feel like they don't have a purpose. I didn't think anybody loved me. In the same way, they don't think anybody loves them. And this story about me, about being, I've shared it, parts of it with the youth. But it's something that God has been pushing me to share more. How I overcame it. And I'm going to be talking about that today. I would hide it. Maybe two friends in high school knew how I really felt. But everybody else, all my other friends, you know how you have many friends in high school, but all of them would say that I was a happy guy and I got along with everybody. But they didn't know how I was feeling deep down. And I didn't go promoting it. I didn't go tell everybody because I didn't want their pity. And I would hide it because I was ashamed of it. I was ashamed of feeling that way, which looking back at it, it made it even worse. I didn't want them to pity me or just be friendly to me because I was feeling that way. And I could guarantee that there's people out there that feel the same way. I wanted somebody who actually cared, who actually wanted to be my friend. And this could be somebody you know at school or at work or where you go and hang out and have, I don't know what people do these days anymore. If you go to coffee shops and just hang out. It could be somebody just waiting for you to reach out. And I got these friends in high school who said, who started pushing me to go to a youth group, go to church. And these friends would pick me up from my house, and I lived in Bay Acres. They would joke about it and call it Guam. And they would say, where are you going? Oh, to Guam. Oh, to pick up Peter. It was so far. And they would pick me up and bring me to church every single service. Every single service, they would go pick me up and bring me to church. Even if it was a Sunday morning, I didn't want to come, and they would go and still pick me up. There's some times that I didn't even do my hair. And for a kid in high school, you know how important that is. Then after a few months, I'm not going to say it was instantly. After a few months, I realized that these people actually cared about me. That they knew that I needed Jesus. And it's kind of interesting because you know how kind of how they forced me, they went to pick me up at my house to bring me to church? You could say they kind of shoved, they forced Jesus down my throat until I tasted it. Until I tasted how good God is. Then I wanted more. And then I gave my life sometime during high school. I want to say it was my junior year. Yeah. But it wasn't until a few years after high school that I really got rid of the desire to do self-harm. Yes, I was still, I gave my life to Christ, and I still had the desire to do self-harm. It didn't go away until I found my purpose in Christ. When I found my calling, what God had called me to do, that's when that went away. I had found the people that loved me, I had found God that loved me, and I had found the purpose that Christ had called me into, my calling. And that's what we're going to talk about today, calling. I know it's a long intro. And I asked this question, and I asked this question to the youth, and I asked them, why do you come to church? I asked them, why do you come to, well, I asked them, why do you come to youth group? But I'm going to ask you guys, and think about this, why do you come to church? Why? And there was many answers that they gave me. And they said, like, to learn, to grow, to get closer to God, all those ones. And then, like, I was looking at some of them. No, you come for a girl. I know you do. But all of them said something along the lines about learning, growing, getting closer to God. Then I asked them a follow-up question to that. All right, so once you learn, what do you do? And they said, teach. All right, and then I asked them, once you grow, what do? Go help other people grow. And then once you do this, all the things they said, it all, the end product of everything they had said was to help other people. It was in short, so like they come to learn so they could teach other people. They come to grow so they could help other people grow. And all the things down the line, they was to help other people. And I think that's a pretty good description of what it means to be a Christian, is that we get from God to help other people. Christianity has really little to do with us. The smaller we get, the bigger God gets. Right? So the end product was all to help other people. And multiple times, I'm sure if you've been to church, any number of times, you've heard that you have a calling. You have a unique calling on your life. You have a calling. And that is true. We all have a unique calling. A calling, if you don't know, is like a pull or a summoning towards something. It could be like a job or a way of life and stuff like that. We all have multiple callings. We all have a unique calling and then one that's not so unique. Not everyone is called to be a worship leader, but everyone is called to worship. Not everyone's called to be a pastor, but everyone is called to minister. If you don't know what minister means, is basically sharing the gospel and helping people. Each one of us has a unique calling. Mordecai told Esther that you were born for such a time as this. And I think the same reflects on us. I feel that when I read that, I feel like that we were born for such a time as this. God has placed us here in this time period, in this town, this city, for a specific purpose. It's not by accident. And like I said, we all have a unique calling. But there's also a one that is the same to everyone. And that one calling that is the same to everyone, we need to start doing that calling before we get our special calling, the unique one. John 15, 16 and 17 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you." And verse 17 says, "These things I command to you, that you love one another." This is very important because it kind of just tells us, that summed up everything, the whole intro. I should just start with that. The whole intro I shared with that. Go back to verse 16, please. So here's the first calling. Here's the first thing. It says that you should go and bear fruit. He called us to bear fruit. And here's the thing though. Not just any type of fruit. There's some words after it. What type of fruit? Fruit that remains. Fruit that lasts. And then this, in verse 17, it gives us another command. And how to do this command? Love one another. But then you start thinking, well, how do I bear fruit that remains? How do I bear fruit? Without going super deep, because this is another teaching that I like doing, but fruit that remains, think of a tree. Tree that bears fruit. If a tree does not have deep roots, does it grow fruit that lasts? No. The tree that burrows deep and gets the nutrients from the soil, those are the trees that bear fruit that lasts, the big fruit. In the same way, we're supposed to dig deep into God's word, dig deep into his presence, so we could bear fruit that remains. All right, so then the next scripture is one of my, I think it might be my favorite passage in the Bible. I have a lot of those. Mark 16, verses 14 through 20. This is every Christian's, every person who says, I believe in Christ, whoever declared Lord, the God, Lord God, their Lord and Savior, this is a job that they're called to. So this is after the right after the crucifixion. It says, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at a table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of the heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink anything deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the messages by accompanying signs. So this is known as the Great Commission. Go to verse 15. This is a job, a command that God gave us. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go. It says go. I tell this to the youth all the time. The Bible says go. It doesn't say wait. It says go. The default is go. God's green light to preach his gospel is a green light. It's a green light to preach his gospel. He might tell us to, hey, slow down. But default green light is go, go. It doesn't say hide. And this one's, I've done this. I've done this before. It doesn't mean hide and pray that people will come to church. It says to go. To go. To go. And I have a funny story about this one specifically, because what's one of the things stopping us from sharing the gospel? And this happens to all of us. Sometimes we're afraid of rejection, right? We're afraid of it being thrown back at our face, getting made fun of. And it's true. We are afraid of this. It happens. But I did a challenge with my youth group. And I was really excited, but I was kind of scared to try it. I didn't know if they were going to receive it well. So I challenged them to get over that fear. And how I challenged them to get over the fear is that I challenged them to go to up to three different people, ask them if you could pray for them, and get rejected. That was the challenge, to get rejected three times by three different people. And you got a prize at the end if you got rejected three times. And so the ones who did it, this is the part that I love, that the ones who did it, the ones who did the challenge, didn't get rejected. They went up to atheists. They went up to family members that criticized them when they became Christians. And they all said, okay, pray for me. None of them that did the challenge got rejected. And so they found it that it was actually pretty hard to get rejected. You have to be weird in order to be rejected, I think. You have to go up with the arms flailing or something going, hey, you want Jesus? We cannot be afraid to speak what we believe. Because like the youth that did this challenge, they didn't get rejected. We can't be afraid to speak about what we believe. We can't be afraid to speak the truth. And this one's tough. This one's tough because God told us to love one another, right? This is tough. This is hard to swallow. How could we say we love somebody when we see them going to hell? When we let them go to hell? How can we say we love somebody if we let the demons run free in their lives? How could we let them suffer in sickness? In verse 17. In my name, Jesus' name, they will cast out demons. So that means there is demons to cast out. They will speak new tongues. Verse 18 cracks me up. This is why I kind of like this passage, because it cracks me up. Verse 18 says they will pick up serpents with their hand. I've never been in a situation where I've had to pick up a serpent in my hand, but I feel like if I have to, I'm covered. And then the next part's even weirder. If they drink any deadly poison, like what kind of situation you're in? Like, hey, if I drink that poison, will you believe in God? What kind of situation are you? What kind of ministry you're running? And then right here, this is the part that is tricky, but at the same time, it encourages me. It says they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. You guys want to repeat that back to me? They will.
Lay their hands on the sick and they will recover.
All right, again.
They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover.
Does anywhere in there does it say might? They will. And what's even interesting, it doesn't say pray. The word is specific. And I don't think they left out the word pray there. God's word is specific in certain things on what to do. And I don't think they left out pray. I think literally that you could go up and poke somebody and they will be healed. No, actually, it says lay their hands. Never mind. That's a poke. You lay their hands, and they will be healed. They will be healed. And these signs will follow those who believe in Christ, those who believe in the resurrection, those who believe. Mitch, a few weeks ago, he was preaching, and this thought came to my mind. He said about the shoving down the gospel down people's throat. He said something along that line, and it got me thinking. And then the next morning, this came to mind, is that we've gotten so afraid about shoving the gospel down somebody's throat that we stopped feeding them. And I believe it's time to move past that fear. There's people out there that need the nutrients, that need the gospel. They're just waiting. They're just waiting. They're hungry. And we've stopped feeding them. We got to start feeding them again. Like how my friends did. They basically shoved the gospel down my throat. And then I tasted of how good God was. Then I wanted it for myself. Think about feeding a baby. I love this because there's a meme. I don't know how new it is. I saw it a few weeks ago. About they're feeding a baby with food. You know babies don't like that food. And they can't get the baby to eat the mushed up food. So what they do is bring a pizza to the baby. And then the baby opens its mouth. And then they switch it out and put the baby food. Which I think is hilarious. But think of it that way. Think of it as a lot of times the baby is not going to like the food that you're giving them. They will cry. They will spit it up. They will throw it. They will throw it. They will throw up on you. They will throw it. They will throw up on your mouth. Noah did that to me. It wasn't even my kid. But all you who are parents, just because your baby threw up on you, just because your baby spit up the food that you gave them, did you stop loving them? Did you stop trying to feed them? No, with the same way I think that we have to do it to the people who need the nutrients, who need the Bible. We don't stop loving the baby just because they spit up on us and throw up on us. I love Noah still. He threw up in my mouth, and I still love him. We don't stop feeding them until they're able to feed themselves. Then even then, some moms still like feeding their children way past. My mom still likes feeding me. And we should be the same way. As Christians, we should be the same way to new Christians or people who need to become Christians. And that's everyone. In Romans 8, 28. It says, Romans 8:28, it says that we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together. God works all things together for good, right? We've all heard that multiple times. If you're around church, I'm sure you've heard this. And even if you're not around church, people use this. All things work out at the end is another way they say this. But the thing is, no, they don't. It says, for those, it's not a period. That's important. It's a comma. So it's a continuing thought. For those who are called according to his purpose. His purpose, our purpose, what did we say it was? Spreading the gospel, in short. That's what our purpose was. And so when we're spreading the gospel, all things will work together for our good. When we're doing the purpose that God had gave us, all things will work for our good. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Is to this he had called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory for our Lord Christ, for our Lord Jesus Christ. He called us through the gospel. And what are we spreading? the gospel so we could call other people so they won't feel like they don't have a purpose, so they won't feel like they're not loved. So we spread the gospel so they hear the call from God. James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Be doers. We need to do what the Bible says. In James 2:26, same book. For the body apart from the spirit is dead, so is also faith apart from works is dead. So we need to believe, we need to have faith, and we need to start doing what the Bible told us to do. Here we have a challenge. It's a challenge, it's a command, not to only just hear the word, not only just to believe the word, is to put it to action. In Matthew 22, as in another story, another parable that really got me when I was going deeper into Christ. This is one of those stories that really stuck with me. So let's go ahead and read it. Matthew 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Verse 4. And again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm and another to his business. While the rest seized his servants and threatened them shamefully and killed them, The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. Then when he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man with no wedding garment. And he said to them, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot, cast them into the outer darkness in a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And this stuck with me for a long time. I wrestled with this. And I thought, am I a called or am I a chosen? I want to be a chosen. I want to be chosen. I don't want to just be called. And so how do you know which one you are? Well, let's look back. The first ones that were invited, what did they do? They rejected the invitation. They refused. They rejected the invitation. Move it. Think of it like this. Also, this is the analogy I finally understood it as. So I need help moving. moving furniture. It's big and heavy, and it does not fit through the doors. Who's going to help me? Who wants to help me? Anybody want to help me? See? Okay, so Ivan. So I'm going to choose Ivan. I'm going to choose Lucy. The same way God is calling us, telling us, he invited us, and so he's waiting for those who say, and so when we raise our hands and say, we'll do it, that's when we become a chosen. That's when we get chosen, when we say yes to God. You guys understand that? And I believe right now in the spiritual realm, we're in a turning point that we've been hiding for way too long, that we've been letting the enemy take the land. We've been letting the enemy take the land, take our children, take the youth, take all hope. And I think we're up against the wall now. We're literally, I really feel like that spiritually, we're up against the wall. And when we're up against the wall, we have two options. When anybody's up against the wall, they have two options. One is give up and admit defeat. And the other one is start swinging and proclaim victory. I want to go and proclaim victory. I want to start swinging. I want to start taking back the land, taking back the youth, taking back, bringing back hope, bringing God's hope, not just my hope, God's hope, bringing God's spirit back into the city. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, God is calling Isaiah, but I think he's calling us too. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom shall go for us? Then Isaiah said, I am, send me. And I think right now, God is calling somebody. He's saying, who's going to go? Who's going to go to these kids? Who's going to go to the people out there lost? And it's up to us, me, you guys, every one of you, each one of you has a decision to make. To go forward and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. In Mark 16, verse 15 and 18, we're going back again. So think of this. Here, God is saying, who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? Who's going to go to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation? We are. We say, here I am, Lord, send us. Verse 16. Well, who's going to baptize? We are. Verse 17. These signs will accompany. They will cast out demons. Who will cast out demons? God is saying, who's going to go and cast out demons for me? And here we are. We have to say, here I am, Lord, send us. They will speak in new tongues. Lord, we want to speak in new tongues. Verse 18. I don't know if I want to pick up serpents. But if God sends me to pick up serpents, I'm going to go do it. And so we say, here I am, God. Here I am, Lord. Send us. Send us for all those. Send us to all those people who are sick. Send us to the people that need to recover. Lord, because here we are. We need to make that declaration that we will do it. That we will go forward. I noticed something right now when I was reading Matthew 22. If we go back to verse 10, I'm just going to share this real quick. Go back to verse 10. Something interesting. It clicked. I didn't notice it until right now. So this is after the first rejection, right? So the king sent to the people and they rejected it. Then those servants went into the roads and gathered all who they found, both good and bad. So you know who that means we invite to church? Who we invite to meet Jesus? Who we invite to share the gospel with? The good and the bad. The people that we consider good. Oh, they don't need Jesus. Oh, maybe they need him more than you think. So let's go ahead and pray. But let's pray for, like, let's not just pray. Let's pray. Like, let's pray for reals. And start, if you pray in tongues, start praying in tongues. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you, Lord, and learn more about your word, Lord, and that you ignite us and give us the courage to go forward, Lord. Lord, we invite your presence here in Douglas, Lord, that you shine your light, Lord, that you shine your light in this city, and that all darkness will be revealed, and all darkness will be destroyed, Lord. Lord, I thank you that nothing in Douglas will be hidden, Lord, that all illegal activity, that all will be discovered and stopped, Lord. And all illegal activity will stop and be discovered, Lord. Lord, and I thank you in your name that every demonic assignment against Douglas and the people of Douglas will be stopped and be destroyed. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you. Lord, we command the spirits of suicide and death and depression and hopelessness to be broken off the citizens of Douglas, Lord. Lord, send us to the people who are hurting. Open our eyes to see the people who are hurting, who need you, who need us, Lord. Send us to the ones. Open our eyes to see the ones who are hungry. Send us, show us to the ones that want to take their lives, Lord. Breathe your life, your hope, your purpose into our lives and into the lives of people in Douglas and the streets of Douglas, Lord. Lord, and I ask again, raise us up. Raise us up. We're here. We're willing to be sent, Lord. Raise us. Give us the courage to share the gospel, to declare your word, to declare your love, Lord, into the people's lives, Lord. Give us that courage, Lord. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen.